All right, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Just getting the recording set up here. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, God, I just want to come into your presence right now. God, I want to just talk to you, no one else, God. God, we're so grateful, God, that we can have a relationship with you. God, we're so grateful that, God, you love us so deeply. God, that you gave Jesus for us, God. We're so amazed by your grace for us.
Yeah.
God, it just blows us away. Father, I thank you for this time that we have a place to worship as a family. Father, I thank you, God, that we can just know you and have a deep love relationship with you.
Yeah.
Father, I pray for every person in this room this morning, God, that we can hear your voice through the Bible, through your word, God, and that it can just change our lives, God. Yeah. That it can help us, that we can make it personal just between you and us, God, but we can also make it something that's together, God, as we strive to just know you and love you as a family. God, we're so grateful to be here. It's been so great just to sing to you already, God. And we just want to continue in that worship right now. We love you, and we pray all of this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right, guys. My name's Peter. Like I've said, if you're visiting today, my beautiful wife, Anna, and I, we lead the teens, the campus, and the young professionals here. And we just love to be able to serve and be a part of the church. And yes, I'm wearing a suit today. I'm trying to raise the standard for Sunday's best. You got to go all out.
It's working.
Thank you, yes. And it's great. But today, I want to talk about something that I just feel really passionate about. Something that God has just put on my heart this morning.
Come on.
And it's about living in God's presence. And that's the title of my message today, is Living in God's Presence. I've read the Bible, and throughout the Bible, I see this theme of God and His presence. It has to do with God and being omnipresent. Omnipresent means to be present everywhere. Here's a few scriptures that God has helped shown this to me. Turn with me to Psalm 139.
Come on.
In Psalm 139, starting in verse 7, we'll read 7 and 8. It says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there." We can't hide from God's presence. Turn to Proverbs 15, verse 3. Proverbs 15, verse 3, it says, "The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good." God sees everything that all people do.
Come on.
Let's go New Testament. Go to Hebrews chapter 4.
Come on, Peter.
Hebrews 4, verse 13. I love this one. It says, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." Nothing is out of God's sight. God sees us worshiping Him right now.
Amen.
Are you aware that God sees you at all times?
Come on.
God sees us, and with that, we can have an amazing love relationship with Him. We also can have reverence. We can have awe for how incredible He is. One way I've learned this is from my own father growing up. Sometimes at home, growing up, I would dribble a basketball inside. I don't recommend this, Kirk or anyone else. But I would dribble inside to practice. Because it was fun. But as soon as my dad would come in the door, my eyes would get big and I'd pick up the basketball right away. I had reverence for my dad. I knew his rules, and I would obey them. I should have been obeying them all the time.
Yeah.
But when I was in his presence, I was focused. Over time, he kind of taught me, hey, even when I'm not here, you still need to, obey. And it can be similar, though, with God. When we know, hey, we're in his presence, I want to have awe. I want to have reverence. Like when a king walks in a room, everyone is quiet and they listen to him. They give him respect and honor. I want to have that with God. I want to have awe for how incredible, how amazing he is.
Yep.
At the same time, I don't think God intended for us just to be so uptight and all the time thinking, oh my gosh, what am I going to say? I don't want to say something wrong. I don't want to make some wrong action. God wants us to have this amazing, deep love relationship where he's watching over and we know he's with us through everything.
Come on.
I think about other times with my dad growing up. I remember I played a lot of sports, and my dad, he would come to my games, and my mom too. I love you, Mom. And at those games, how special it was to have a parent in the stands cheering you on. It felt different at those games when I knew I had a parent there, and they were cheering me on, and they were watching me through each step, and they were loving me, and they were just cheering me, and they were supporting me. It's like that. Jesus said, I am always with you to the very end of the age. That's what he told his disciples before he ascended back into heaven shortly after. God is with us. God's watching over. It's so amazing. How awesome is that? That we get a journey through this life and we know God sees us every step of the way. He's there. Sometimes it can feel like he's far from us. We know it talks about that later in Acts 17 too. But we know that's not the case. He's there alongside us.
Yeah.
And he's even put our spirit, his spirit, inside us once we are Christians.
Amen.
A concern that I have for myself and for the church is that we can get caught up sometimes with the treasures of this world.
Yeah.
We can get caught up with the worries of this life, and we can forget that we are in God's presence, that he sees us, that we have this deep relationship, and we can forget him as we're going about our day-to-day life and our decisions that we make, big or small.
Yep.
I don't want that to happen. Over and over I see in the Bible, God, he would use different leaders to remind his people to remember the Lord. Before going into the promised land, remember the Lord. Over and over, you can see that theme of God's leaders just directing, hey, remember God. Remember he's with you. Remember he's watching over us. I don't want us to ever forget that. Today, I'm going to focus in. Those first scriptures I read help us to focus that God sees us, that nothing's hidden from his sight. But I want to be able to point out three different times where we can just focus on living in God's presence this morning.
Come on.
The first one is worship in God's presence. That's my first point. When we come together to worship, I want us to be focused that, hey, God sees that worship.
Amen.
We're singing to him.
Come on.
Turn with me to Revelation 4, verse 1.
Let's go, Peter.
Revelation. Come on, Peter.
We're going to read this whole chapter.
All right.
It's only 11 verses. Revelation 4. So this is John, through the Holy Spirit, was led to write Revelation. This was the revelation from Jesus. And here we get a hint of what it's like in heaven, what worship is like in heaven. Revelation 4, verses 1 through 11. It says, after this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Just imagine that picture that's painted there. God on his throne. All of that light. You see all of those different people before, and they're just crying out, and these animals, and they're just screaming out, "Holy, holy, holy," day and night. They just can't stop it. Holy means to be set apart. They're saying, "God, you are so amazing. I am just in so much awe and reverence. I'm just so blown away by you. I just can't stop day and night. Holy, holy, holy." It's a hint of what worship is like in heaven.
Come on.
Like I read earlier in Psalms and Proverbs and Hebrews, nothing in creation is hidden. God sees all. God sees us. I want to take a moment and just, everyone, imagine God on his throne. Like we just read. Just picture that in your mind. Now imagine God sitting on his throne. And imagine if he came down and he was sitting on his throne on this stage before us this morning.
Wow.
What if he was on this stage? Would your worship be different if God were on the stage before us this morning?
Come on.
Come on, Peter.
David talked about how he just wanted to be in those courts. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere.
That's right.
I want to worship every Sunday, every day when I sing to God, like I'm right before him, like I'm there, like I'm able to see him. Imagine if God was on this stage, sitting on his throne before us this morning. Would your worship be different this morning? If you knew he was going to be on the stage, would you be late to that worship?
Well.
Would you be texting during that worship? Would you think, "Hey, this is a good time to go to the bathroom when we do this song, and then I'll be back"? Would that be your thoughts? Would you talk or joke around during the worship? Would you be focused, giving reverence, giving awe, just being so in love with your Father? Worship is powerful when your heart is focused on the object of your worship.
Yeah.
Let's worship him like he's right before us, sitting right before us.
Yeah.
David danced before the Lord. I want to have that type of just joy and just with all my might worshiping God. To be honest, my worship at times, it's gotten stale. I grew up in the Champaign Church of Christ. There are songs that I have sang my whole life. Sometimes it gets stale.
Yep.
Sometimes it gets bland, my worship. When it's the same song, I felt that way. I don't want my worship to be stale. It shouldn't be stale because I'm singing to God. I'm singing to my Father who loves me more than anyone else.
Come on.
I think there's also times in my personal worship where I haven't had reverence. In the Champaign Church, I used to play electric guitar for the worship band every Sunday for the past years. There were a few times when I was late to the start of worship. So I'm supposed to be helping lead the worship, and the song's starting, the singers are going, the band's playing, and there's no electric guitar. And I would run up on stage the few times that happened. I'd throw my guitar on real quick and try to jump into the song. That's not respectful to my God. I was late. I wasn't having reverence. What was I doing? What was I thinking about? What conversation was more important than singing to God? What else is more important?
Come on.
I had to really check my own heart and my convictions with my worship. It was lacking. I was letting it be stale at times. I was letting myself not show the reverence that God deserves.
Come on.
Revelation 4:8, it talked about how day and night they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy." I can't get over that. I love that. I want to do that. I want just day and night just to sing to my God how set apart He is. When we worship, I want us to be able to have humility, to have reverence, to have love, to have passion as we sing to God.
Come on.
Brothers, let me encourage you. Let's be on time to worship. Let's make sure that, hey, I'm here before 10 o'clock.
Wow.
When it's 10, I'm ending my conversation. I'm getting to my seat because I want to sing to God.
Yeah.
That conversation, we can finish it later. That's not as important as worshiping my God. Let's not let technology or phones be distractions. I know more and more common, we read the Bible on our phone. That's great. And we take notes as we're hearing messages on our phones. I think that's great. But brothers, let's not check our email right now.
Wow.
Let's not check on our sports teams and how they did yesterday.
Preach.
Let's not let our phones be a distraction, right?
Yeah.
It should only be something that enhances or helps your worship. And lastly, let's just give our whole heart to our worship.
Amen.
You know, let's be here in the moment, knowing that God sees us and we want our hearts focused on Him. Moving on, my second point is be alone in God's presence.
Amen.
Another place I want to focus where we can just really meditate and concentrate, like Mark was saying, on God is when we have that alone time with Him. A lot of people call it your quiet time. I call it my God times, my times where I read the Bible, where I pray, where I sing to God. Sometimes other, you know, I feel like He leads me to do other stuff too. Like I had shared earlier this fall, one of the greatest times I had with God is when I realized that I wasn't focusing on His presence. And I was able to get concentrated back on God. That morning I remember finishing reading the Bible, and then I went to the place in my home where I pray. I began to pray, and I was going through the daily motions of the things I pray about every day, the people I pray about, the things, the dreams I have for God, what's on my heart that day. And I realized my prayer was just boring. It was just, it was just stale, it was bland. I paused for a second. And I just thought, what if God was right before you while you're talking to Him? We talk to each other face to face. What if I was talking to God face to face right now? Because I am. I'm talking to Him. And He sees me.
Yeah.
Would your prayer be different if God was before you as you talk to Him? After I concentrated on that, my eyes just started to well up with tears. I started to pray about what's most important. I started to concentrate so hard. I didn't want anything to get in the way of my prayer and my talking to God. I remember as my tears were just welling up, I remember just saying to God, the first thing that came out of my mouth was, God, thank you so much for sacrificing Jesus for me, your Son. Thank you so much for the deep, deep love that you have for me. And then I continued to talk to God. I continued to pray, and it was amazing. That is, that moment, that morning, has changed my prayer life this the rest of this fall.
Amen.
To know how to be alone in God's presence, we need to learn from Jesus. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5, we're going to read verses 7 through 10. We get little glimmers in the Gospels and in other places of Jesus' prayer life. And we can learn from it. We can learn from how He spent time with God. We can know how to be alone in God's presence from how Jesus was alone in God's presence. Hebrews 5, verse 7. It says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, He offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save Him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of the Melchizedek. When is a time we know Jesus prayed with loud cries and tears? In Gethsemane, before he went to the cross. We know that he prayed about in those moments what was on his heart. It brought about passion. It brought about emotion as he prayed.
Yep.
Jesus' prayers brought submission. And where did that come from? That came from his humility, his trust in God's plan. Sometimes I feel like for myself, I've lacked reverence in my time with prayers. I've lacked that connection, that focus. In my prayers, I've gotten distracted at times. I'll be praying, and my eyes will be open, and I'll be talking to God, and then I'll look out the window, and I'll see the fall leaves. Oh, that's pretty. And I'll get distracted. And then I'll think, oh, I should check my favorite sports team from last night. I want to know how they did. I'll just check it real quick. Just real quick on my phone. And I'll take out my phone. I'll check. Before I know it, I'll forget what I sat down to do in the first place.
Yeah.
I think for me, I don't want to forget. I don't think I've ever compared myself to this character from a movie, but the dog in Up. I felt like that dog. I'm having a conversation with someone, and then all of a sudden, squirrel! And I freeze, and I'm totally off track, and I get distracted. I don't want to do that.
Right?
Isn't it annoying sometimes when you're talking to someone, and then they get distracted by what's on TV? They aren't even listening to you. Or you're talking to someone, and then you can tell, oh, they're just like focused on their text right now. Or that other person somewhere else.
Yeah.
Isn't that annoying?
Yeah.
Sometimes we can do that to God, though. Yeah. I realize I do that to God sometimes. I'm talking to God, and then all of a sudden, oh, what's that out the window?
Yeah.
Oh, what's that on my phone? I should look that up. I can find that answer right away, because we have this thing called Google. I can just look it up. And I forget that who I'm talking to. I want to have reverence. I want to have focus. I'm talking to God. I don't want to get distracted. When we get distracted, we can miss out on the chances to be in God's presence, to just be with him, the things he's wanting to talk to us, the words of eternal life that could help you so much, the things that you could be learning and God's trying to teach you just so you can help your wife, so you can help your friends, so you can help that person at work. And we miss out on it because we're just getting distracted. We aren't even focused on God's presence.
Come on.
Yep.
I think we have been really overstimulated, especially my generation. We have so much. We got your phone, you got your tablet, you got, you know, your iPod, you got your TV. Sometimes you use them all at the same time. We can get distracted. We've been overstimulated.
Yeah.
And what's come of that is we have a harder time to concentrate. I could concentrate better when I was younger than I can right now. There's times where it definitely is clear that's the case. I don't want that to be the case. I don't want to be controlled by that. I want to be controlled by God and my love for God. We have to fight these days to be clear-minded and self-controlled.
Yeah.
So that we can pray. A few practicals that have helped me to really be focused when I spend time with God is when I'm praying, I'll close my eyes. I won't let my eyes get distracted by things I see.
Yeah.
Close my eyes as I pray. If I'm having a hard time reading, maybe it's early in the morning and I'm just falling asleep, I'll read out loud. If I'm having a hard time following along as I'm reading in my head, I'll just start reading out loud. If Anna's on the couch next to me, then I just got to go to the other room and read. I'll figure it out. We got to find those ways to connect. I think also we have to go to a place where we can focus. We know Jesus often went to solitary places to pray. It talks about that in Luke 5, verse 16. He often withdrew to these lonely places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's that place for you where there's not going to be any distractions? It doesn't have to, I know it's not realistic for us to drive to the edge of some cornfield and, you know, go read every day. But there's probably a place at home where you can just be alone with God and no distractions, nothing else, right? Find that. Don't let anything get in the way or distract you from connecting with God. If something's distracting you, move it. If it's too hard to read your phone because then the Facebook message pops up, oh, I want to see what they liked about me and different things. Guys, then read a paper Bible. Switch it up. Do what you have to do. Some people can control it. I don't think I could. I only read my paper Bible when I spend time with God. It's so rare that I use a phone. Also, just remember, guys, when we spend time with God, just imagine that He's here, you know, right before you. Because He sees you when you're spending that time with Him. He knows those moments. Imagine He's right there before you. When you're praying, like you're talking to Him. Like He's right there before you, face to face. Let's have reverence. Let's have passion. Let's have humility as we build that love relationship with God. Because I know I know God gives us so much grace. I know He gives us that grace when we get distracted. But let's fight to be focused with Him and build that relationship. Yeah. Last point I have is be together in God's presence. Amen. We've talked about worshiping in His presence when we're together. You know, being alone on your own. The last thing I want to point out is when we're together, let's be in God's presence. To live in God's presence together, we can learn from those who did it. The apostles spent over 3 years in Jesus' presence while He walked the earth.
Yep.
Imagine what they learned from that time. Constantly being able to look over and see Jesus, hear Jesus, have that personal, intimate relationship with Him. Mm-hmm. There's a book that I read called Revolution by Gene Edwards. Awesome book. In the book, Gene tells a story of the early part of Acts. He tells it like a story, and he talks about what the apostles learned from being in Jesus' presence. I'm going to read a piece of that.
Come on.
So what were the 12? Men purged in motive, pure in being, divine in character? They were men who lived in the conscious presence of Christ. Furthermore, the apostles had developed a habit during over 3 years with Jesus, the habit of always being in the Lord's presence. And they kept the habit even after He ascended. Is that impossible? No, it is not. 8 years after Pentecost, the apostles were still experiencing that same intimate relationship with Christ. They were still living constantly in His presence. The apostles developed a habit of always being in the Lord's presence. We can often ask, and I ask myself this in my head sometimes, what would Jesus do? WWJD. I love the bracelet when I had that bracelet. I'm so sad the day it broke because I wore it constantly. What would Jesus do? We think that at times. What did the apostles do, though, when we read the Gospels? You know, did that thought ever pop in their head? Man, what would Jesus do right now? Oh, that's what He'd do. They could just look over and see it. Yeah. They didn't have to wonder. When Jesus walked the earth, they knew what Jesus would do. They saw it every day. They were with Him. How special was that?
Yeah.
They could look over. Man, what would Jesus do right now? Oh, He's dismissing the crowd. Oh, He's driving out that demon. Oh, He's serving those people. He's feeding them. He's teaching them about God. He's taking a stand for sin is sin and righteousness is righteousness. Look at Jesus. Wow. Man, He's such a servant. That's what I should do. Yeah. I should be a humble servant like Jesus. They could just look over and see it.
Amen.
When Jesus walked the earth, they were able to see that. But even after, they kept that habit. What would Jesus do? And they remembered how Jesus acted, how Jesus spoke, how Jesus spent His day, how Jesus often went off to solitary places and was with God. After Jesus ascended, the apostles continued to do God's will. Turn with me to Acts 5.
Come on, Peter.
Go, Peter.
In Acts 5, verses 29 through 32, we get to see the apostles continuing to walk in Jesus' presence. They have been speaking and just speaking about God, about history, about what they just saw happen, about Jesus and his life and who he was and what he came to do. They were persecuted for this. They were thrown into jail. Then, that night before, an angel came and gave them a get-out-of-jail-free card. They got out, and then what were they told to do? Go back and keep preaching. They preach again, and then the different synagogue rulers, they find them, and they bring them in, and they start to question them in the Sanhedrin. They start asking them about, why are you talking about this?
Yep.
Why are you talking about Jesus? And this is how they reply. Acts 5:29. Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." The apostles were transformed by being in the presence of Jesus.
Amen.
Look at the boldness they had. Look at the confidence they had. Look at the passion they had for God. No one was going to stop them being together with God and being focused on God and talking about God. The apostles didn't forget Jesus' presence. And you can read the rest of Acts and see how they follow God's will. When we're together, we can remember God's presence too.
Yeah.
We can be able to remember and live out what Jesus would do on this earth.
Come on.
We can do that. God has good works planned out for all of us to do.
Amen.
When we're together, God's just, he's just wanting so bad for us to keep in step with the Spirit, to follow him and his will and go do what he is wanting, those great deeds. I remember in college, there were times where I was a new Christian and I was so fired up about God. I remember I would have other brothers in the campus ministry in Champaign come over, and what we'd do is we'd just spend hours digging into God's word. We were just so excited about the Bible that we could hear God's voice. We would just sit down the whole time. We'd just talk about scriptures. Oh, that made me think of this. Oh, come up, look it up. And we'd just jump through the Bible, looking through it, just sharing what God's teaching us, what we're so fired up about.
Yeah.
I remember getting together with a brother and we're sharing our hearts and we're realizing, man, we just don't share God's word with other people enough. We felt so convicted. We stopped what we were doing. I think we were getting together to play a video game. We're like, no, we aren't going to do that. We went to a park and we just started talking to people, reaching out, telling people, asking people to study the Bible. When we're together and we're focused on God's presence, God can use us for amazing things.
Yes.
Think about the things we could do together. We can serve together. We could get together and we could, instead of wasting our times on things that just don't matter in the light of eternity, we could get together and say, man, let's just go serve. Let's go make some sandwiches. Let's go downtown. Let's just try to go feed some people. Oh, man, he looks like he needs a ride. I should ask him. Oh, I got this other thing to do. No. We should help him. Yeah, let's help him. Let's put his needs above our needs. Let's be a servant. What else could we do? We could get together and instead of just hanging out and playing a sport, which isn't bad, or playing music, which I like to do, let's just get together and let's just read a book of the Bible. How about we read Ephesians? Let's read it together. Let's talk about it. Let's see what God's talking to us. What do I need to work on in this book? What do you think? Well, what could I work on? Let's get together and just jump into God's word.
Come on.
I remember times as a kid when I would look around the congregation in Champaign after service. People would spend an hour just talking about the sermon that just happened. People would spend an hour just opening their Bibles. They'd just be sitting there reading the Bible together. It was amazing. I remember growing up, it was like that was the norm. It was just everyone just wanted God. They were just so in love with God. That's who they thought about. They're like, man, God sees me right now and I want to please him. I want to know him more. Let's think about those things that we can do. We can also reach out together. If we're together, let's just go ask people to study the Bible.
Come on.
You know, we work together. Wow, two disciples work at the same place? This is easy. We can just, let's take our lunch break. Let's just go ask people. Let's go around the building. oh, let's go through our neighborhood. We live in the same neighborhood. I love how you guys like to live in the same places here. I'm not used to that. But I remember when I moved here, it's like, oh yeah, I live here. So-and-so lives, you know, just in that apartment over there. And I'm like, that's awesome. You guys even live close to each other. Those are neighborhoods. Those are people that God's put in your path for a reason. Let's just go ask people to study the Bible. Let's just go door knocking. I used to be the cute kid who'd stand at the door. And they'd open the door, and they'd be like, and then they'd be like, what do you want to talk about? And they'd be that. I can't do that anymore. I can't pull that off. Right? I can't. No way. But I can still ask people to come to church, study the Bible, right?
Amen.
Let's be together in God's presence. As I wrap up, brothers, let's remember, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. God sees us right now. Right here, together worshiping Him.
Yep.
That's amazing. God loves us. We get to go through life together with God. I love that. Yep. Never alone. God's with me. What are you going to do when this service is over? How are you going to talk and serve the others around you in fellowship? How are you going to live the rest of your life? I hope, I pray that it's just in the conscious presence of God.
Amen.
Like those apostles, they spent the rest of their lives remembering, oh man, remember when we'd walk with Jesus? I still remember that. I know what He'd do. I know what I can do. I know what we're meant to do. I know what this life is about. I'm not going to get distracted. Let's worship in His presence when we come here together.
Yep.
Let's be alone in His presence every day. Take that time where it's like, man, God, I just want You. Let's also take that time to be together in His presence. When we're together, let's not forget, God sees us. God loves us. He's with us too. Above all, let's be holy in all we do as we together live in God's presence. Amen.
Yeah.